a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Joe and Brian filling in for Paul here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, talking all things Astros, Texans, Rockets. We've got a bunch to get into today. So Aaron Wilson of KPRC said on his YouTube channel that Joe Mixon is in a walking boot and doesn't make it sound serious or anything like that. I think the wording was should be ready for training camp. So it wasn't definitive one way or the other, which is obviously not too surprising if you're in a walking boot. Joe Mixon obviously had two horse collar tackles against him last year that kind of slowed him down a little bit. But you package that, but there are rumors that the Texans are both interested in bringing in J.K. Dobbins and Nick Chubb after June 1st.
I'm in favor of having somebody behind Joe Mixon that you trust more than what you dealt with last year. Like having Dare, having I'm forgetting the name of the guy that drafted out of Florida for some reason. The fourth round pick from a couple years ago.
Damien Pierce?
Yeah, Damien Pierce. Sorry. I don't know why I was spacing on his name. Probably because he was used so little. I support the idea of giving Mixon some more help because he's an older running back. He'll be 29 in July before the season starts. And you can't expect a guy like that to, unless his name is Derrick Henry and he has alien DNA, you can't expect him to continue to take that sort of workload without getting some rest. And I would want somebody more competent behind him than Pierce or Dare, and hopefully that guy is Woody Marks. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see on that. But, like, I don't know, Chubb certainly I'd be out on. Like, I mean, obviously he had a catastrophic knee injury. Like, maybe not as catastrophic as what Tank Dell suffered, but pretty close to it, and he's an older player than Tank Dell. Like, Nick Chubb is already age 29 as of right now. And last season when he came back, 102 carries, averaged 3.2 per carry.
Yeah.
Almost 100 carries. Like, he is done. Now, Dobbins was more effective.
He was pretty good last year.
I still do worry because I'm trying to remember who else. It was Cam Akers was the other example. Like, guys that have come off of the Achilles injury and then, like, initially looked good but kind of slowed down as the wear and tear, I think, maybe a little bit harder to get over than it was pre-injury. Like, Dobbins started off the season pretty good. End of the season with a 4.6 per carry, but, like, down the stretch, I don't know. He just didn't seem as effective. And the Chargers under, you know, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, who we know they want to run basically every single play, started to use him less and less.
And I
take that as a sign that they were seeing some of the same inefficiency as down the stretch that I was.
But my counter to that is that I think that's why he's perfect here, is because he's not going to be the lead running back.
Fair.
Unless Joe Mixon were to actually get hurt, is that he's coming in. He's clearly the number two guy. I think they relied way too much on Joe Mixon last year.
100%.
I mean, he is an older running back himself. He was very effective, but again, multiple horse collars that hurt his leg, and he's going to age out at some point now, and you've guaranteed him money. You've added years to his contract. I mean, like, you didn't really need to be honest, when you got him.
I think they're just making him happy.
But, like, yeah, well, they seem to just do that.
They do that all the time.
Strange. I think
Casario is a very player-friendly GM. Like,
especially if you're one of, like, D'Amico's guys, and, like, that's, you know, Jimmy Ward did not deserve to have a year tacked on. Joe Mixon.
They make Jalen Petrie a guy who can't cover the highest-paid nickel corner in the league.
Yeah,
why?
I don't know. It's a great question. I thought Jalen Petrie was, like, on, like, his last leg with.
I didn't think he was going to get a second contract. Period. Like,
yeah,
he came
elsewhere.
To me. He came off to me as a guy that, while he had a role on the team, he's a good thumper in the box. Like, I'm not giving a second contract to a nickel corner who got moved there because he couldn't cover at safety. And, oh, yeah, once he's at nickel corner, still can't cover.
Yeah.
And you pay him, you know, record-breaking money. So, like, for better or worse, maybe it keeps the locker room happy. Maybe it keeps the vibes in a good position inside the locker room. But Nick Casario is a very – he's not afraid to pay guys top of the market. Like, I've supported the Stingley deal, but again, record-setting money. Like, we've seen this. Get ready for Stroud. Get ready for Will Anderson. It ain't going to be a team-friendly deal. He's just going to pay him whatever the market says.
Yeah, I mean, CJ is going to get $60-65 million.
Probably. I said the other day on the show, because it came up after Brock Purdy got his deal, that CJ's minimum is 5 years, 305, which would be 61 per year, $1 million more than Dak Prescott.
I don't know why people are so surprised by it, or it's what the market is like,
and it's who's next.
And frankly, you don't really have an option.
No, what are you gonna do? Like, play hardball with him and try to draft another quarterback?
Cool. Then David Mulugeta is gonna force his hand, and he's gonna be off this team, and you're not gonna have a quarterback again.
Yeah,
like, it's just the reality. Like, does Jacksonville?
No, you're over a barrel.
Does Jacksonville regret giving Trevor Lawrence $50 million a year? Probably. But what the hell else are they supposed to do? Like, the quarterbacks have these teams bent over basically, and like, they don't have an option. Like you can't move on because you're not in position unless you are. Unless you tank out on accident in the year that your quarterback's contract is up and you can draft a quarterback, you're kind of stuck. Like, the only way, like, you don't pay a quarterback is if you happen to get the first pick and Arch Manning's on the board. Like you're – it's why Daniel Jones got paid. It's why CJ, no matter what he does this year, is going to get $65 million at a – I think at a minimum.
Oh, you put it up at 65.
Yeah, because I think he's.
I was at 61. But
yeah, I think he's gonna. I think it's gonna jump a little bit.
Wow.
Part of that is who his agent is.
Yeah, fair.
And who kind of the Texans are, like the Texans.
Yeah,
Texans,
I mean, again,
they pay.
Caserio is like, okay, what's the top of the market? Sure, I'll pay it. Like, he doesn't seem there. I'm sure there is some negotiating there on Kirby when Caserio sits down with these agents, but it doesn't feel like it a lot because he just ends up paying them the most money ever for the position.
I do wonder, like, how much the Deshaun stuff will come up during the CJ Stroud contract.
What, is it trying to keep him happy?
Yeah, like how Mulugeta was so, I mean, he's been so successful at forcing trades for Deshaun Watson. This is CJ Stroud's agent. Like, he's been able to force trades for all these guys, and for Jalen Ramsey, all of them. Where it's like, if you're the McNairs and he even threatens it, like, what? I'm just curious about what their response would be. There's got to be like a little bit of like a, I cannot believe we're about to go through this again.
Well, I don't. I mean, Cal, if it's Cal in the situation, he's just probably gonna give him what. I mean, honestly, I think CJ's gonna get what he wants. I think it's kind of a moot point.
And the thing is, he probably should.
Yeah, like, I mean, I do wish some of these teams, when you have, obviously, the Giants have to have regrets with what they paid Daniel Jones, especially since it cost them Saquon and what we saw play out. Probably the only ever offseason Hard Knocks, because it went so poorly for the team involved in that. By the way, if you haven't heard, the training camp Hard Knocks with the Buffalo Bills, that should be pretty fun.
That'll be good.
Especially if we can get some Bills Mafia members jumping through flaming tables, but we'll see how that goes.
In-season Hard Knocks with NFC East, too.
So. Yeah, NFC East, that's right. Oh, so Joe Shane might be back in front of the cameras. Yeah,
when he gets fired?
Yeah, when he gets fired. I mean, the owner, John Mara, did tell him, don't let Saquon go to the Eagles, and Saquon went to the Eagles. But, yeah, I do wish some of these teams that had kind of the mediocre classic quarterback, and this may be a hot take, I'd even put Brock Purdy in this conversation. I know some people will disagree.
I don't disagree at all.
Like if I'm Kyle Shanahan, there are a few coaches, him included, I would also put Kevin O'Connell in this conversation with Minnesota. I'd put LaFleur in this conversation with Green Bay with what we saw him do with Malik Willis when Jordan Love got hurt last year. Like, there are certain coaches that feel like they can almost take any quarterback, as long as he's not named Trey Lance, and turn them into a serviceable NFL quarterback. I mean, Shanahan did it with Jimmy Garoppolo. What has Jimmy Garoppolo done post-Shanahan?
Nothing. He hasn't played.
I mean, he got to a Super Bowl up by 10 in the fourth quarter with Shanahan, and he's done nothing ever since. So, if I'm Shanahan – and I know I can do that. That's my superpower. Maybe this is oversimplifying it. Maybe this is taking too many unnecessary risks. But I'd almost be betting on myself that I can produce the next Brock Purdy rather than not being able to pay my studs on the offensive line and the defense and the wide receivers because I'm paying the quarterback so much money.
Yeah, and I know Brock Purdy, you know, he said his deal allows them flexibility to build around him.
I guess.
I mean, not a lot.
It's 53 per year. It's like a top six contract So I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's not what he could have gotten.
I mean, it's not 60 like Dak there, Josh. Yeah. Your Cowboys paying Dak 60 mil.
Yeah, he's called Josh.
My bad. Yeah, he's not Josh Evans.
I miss Josh Evans.
I know. That's not against AJ. Just Josh was a fun guy.
Look, these teams are in a tough spot. Like I don't know, and I think at some point we will see a team stand their ground.
I fully support the idea of if Shanahan hadn't done that, I would have come on this air and said it was a great decision. You have to be so damn ballsy to let a quarterback who's played well walk away.
Because you're almost you're right. Because it's really more the Daniel Jones route where,
yes.
Let's say Bryce Young goes off this year and really looks like the player he's expected to be.
Mm-hmm.
I would not pay him $55, $60 million, even if he has a much better season than C.J. Stroud.
He was pretty good in the second half, too. So it wouldn't be just strictly a one-year sample.
But I'd be like, hey, maybe we go a little bit shorter here, $35 million.
I feel like you said shorter because it's Bryce Young.
Yeah, you know what? I can say that. I'm allowed to.
Oh, because you're a short king also?
Yeah, man. I can. It's like, you know what? Like, I can.
You're allowed to say it. I can't say it. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
To your point, though, I mean, Dave Canales could probably be put into that same group that I put LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell and Kyle Shanahan, because mm-hmm. he did it with Baker Mayfield before Duval did it. He did it with Geno Smith, and now he did it with Bryce Young. It's like three quarterbacks in a row. Geno Smith left for dead. Baker left for dead. I mean, hell, Baker was traded from Carolina to the Rams and started 3 days later. Like, those guys were all left for dead. Bryce Young was certainly left for dead. And Dave Canales has brought more than we thought those guys had left out of all three. So, I mean, to your point, I think if Bryce Young plays really well this year, there's no way they'll let him walk. They'll just resign him. That is the 99% thing that's going to happen.
I could see that.
But I could see the point, though. Dave Canales, now three quarterbacks in a row left for dead, turned him into something. We'll just do it again.
Yeah, they also probably go more the Kirk Cousins route, where they don't pick up they pick up the fifth-year option. They have him play on it. I think that's more likely for Bryce Young.
Probably.
Eventually gets franchise tagged, and then you get paid.
Go full Kurt. Yeah, because Cousins got franchise tagged twice,
and
I
then
believe.
They let him walk.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to let them walk. I think he knew. Kirk Cousins, he played the game. I mean, he's got more guaranteed money than pretty much any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Wasn't he the first fully guaranteed quarterback?
He was.
Because that first deal with Minnesota is fully guaranteed, and then obviously we know what he got with 160, I think it was, from Atlanta.
All right. Dell had an interesting comp. This morning from...
Yeah, this is this morning.
From this morning on John and Lance for Amen Thompson. We'll hear what Dell had to say, and we'll see if we agree or not next year. With Joe and Brian filling in for Paul, you're on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Joe and Brian here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, filling in for Paul Gallant. The Weenie 500 was just completed.
Oh, you brought it up yesterday during garbage time. I didn't realize it was happening that quick.
Honestly, same. I'm literally watching the Pat McAfee show. Watch it. So, it's not even but yeah, they're out there. So it's over. So congrats to the Winnie and Weenie. I don't know which one it was. It's hard to identify.
Do you have odds?
No, they all look the same. So...
I don't know where to go with that one, Joe.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to let that one go.
They're the same car.
Oh, all right. All right.
Let's hear. So this morning, Dell, John Lance were talking some Rockets basketball. Dell had a comp for Amen Thompson. Let's hear what Dell had to say.
I said that for all the comparisons, at this point, I see a young Ron Artest.
Yeah. Well, say no more.
Ron Artest was a good basketball player.
Yeah. All right.
The other stuff
and he
overshadowed
was always a
it.
Great defender.
Did Ron Artest do this? At age 22, in his 42 starts, he was a lot better as a starter. He was a lot better as a starter. He averaged 16 points a game on 60.2% true shooting. These are Brado's stats. 9.2 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.6 blocks. No other player in NBA history has averaged or exceeded these stats in a full season. Not a single one, apparently.
Well,
is he the only untouchable on this team.
Well, you asked about Ron Artest. Ron Artest played some college ball, so things are going to be skewed. But at 23 years old, he finished second in DPOY voting. Somehow he finished second team all defense, but also finished number two in DPOY voting. Different era, so shooting was going to be different. But he averaged about 16, five rebounds, three assists at 23 as a Pacer. Now, he had been in the league a little bit longer than Amen had been, and at 24 – he was a DPOY and All-Star. So when I say Ron Artest, isn't just about the physicality and the non-basketball stuff.
No, it's similar. Ron like, they're always going to be more defense-heavy than offense.
Ron Artest was a good, very good player for a long time.
I think it is hard to remove the crazy from the real Ron Artest.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I think people do forget like what Ron Artest was as a basketball player. I mean, even when he won the championship, or championships
with the Lakers.
Like he had like really kind of like fixed his image a little bit and started playing.
Yeah, he was meta world peace by then, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's interesting. I think athletically is where I struggle with it the most, because when I look at a man,
so much more athletic than Ron Artest.
Like I don't really think there is a great comp for him, because like it reminds me of like. It reminds me of like a bigger Derrick Rose.
I was going to say a bigger Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, like that's what I see.
Or at least a taller, lankier Russell Westbrook. Because like, Russell Westbrook is built well, like as far as just lifting weights.
That's what I see, because I look at Derrick and I'm like, okay, could he hit threes? Yes. Is he better at shooting the basketball than Russell Westbrook? Absolutely. And I think the stuff we've seen from Amen this year is heading very much in the direction where, like, you feel confident he's going to at least – he's not going to be Russ in terms of where in the playoffs they're going to be 10 feet off of you. We saw in the playoffs this year the Warriors would not leave him open in the corner because he's a weapon in the corner. Like there was fear.
They did sag off of him at the top of the key, but you're right. But in the corner,
at least if he can give you the corner three on a reliable basis, like – that's something Russell Westbrook, you never really feared for him. It was always only about attacking the rim. So, like, between, like, the rebounding, the athleticism, the shooting, like, I think it reminds me of Derek more, of D. Rose, like, a taller version. But I think that's what the comp is. I don't dislike the Ron Artest comparison, but I just think he's just so much more athletic that it's hard for me not to look at, I would say, like, Russell Westbrook, John Wall, and Derek Rose and be like, that's the guy.
Yeah, I think athletically, the comparisons to either Westbrook or Rose are far closer than Artest. Like, Artest was obviously a fantastic player. People, if you're able to, you know, separate jumping into the stands in Detroit away from what he actually did, you know, between the lines, I think that's actually a favorable comparison. But I would be a little disappointed, like, if a men's ceiling ends up being what Ron Artest's ceiling was. Because I think a men right now, other than...
Well, that's not an untouchable basketball player.
Right, exactly. Because, like, a man right now, so I looked it up. I mean, I believe John mentioned some of the numbers that Brado put out for when a man became a starter. So I pulled it up as well, compared it to, because a man this year, age 22. So I looked at Ron Artest, age 22 season. And there is one stat in the favor of Ron Artest, but otherwise you'd rather have a man. So a man this year as an age 22 starter, 16 points per game. Ron Artest was 13.2. Amen had 9.2 rebounds, Ron Artest 4.9, and Amen was 4.9 assists, Ron Artest 2.3. Now, where Ron does get them is he averaged about a steal more per game, and his defensive rating, points allowed per 100 possessions, was 11 points higher. Or 11 points better than it is for Amen Thompson, which is crazy to think how. I mean, Amen Thompson was just first team all defensive NBA, mm-hmm. and Ron Artest on a per 100 possessions basis in age 22 seasons was 11 points better than Amen right now. So I think the comp isn't crazy. Like, I think Dell is in the ballpark there. I just think where it falls apart for me is the athletic profile that you mentioned. Like, I don't think they're the same type of athlete. And if a man only hits the Ron Artest prime, which was kind of, let's say, 2004 to 2009, he ends up averaging 18.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. Like, if that's what a man becomes at his best, I'd be a little disappointed.
Another one, I was just kind of Googling real quick to see, like, if I could find anyone that's thrown out comps for a man Thompson.
Asur Thompson.
Yeah, honestly, it popped up, and I was like, this is stupid. How about a guy who finished 12th in Defensive Player of the Year in his age 22 season, who averaged just under 13 points per game, 5.9 assists, and eventually became an NBA world champion, but as a role player,
okay.
Andre Iguodala.
Ooh.
Like, yeah. Early Andre with yeah. Philly. Like that.
I like that. And Andre,
I'm like, okay, because I think people forget what Andre Iguodala.
Oh, he was a yeah, freak.
He used to be, like, he was sick. Like, he like was, like, the yeah, UAI taking over for Iverson or with Iverson for a while. Like they, so I thought, like, they were going to be special together. They were, like, my favorite NBA live team.
Like, the Andre Iguodala that people remember from the Warriors was a different player. Like, he was older. Yeah. I mean, not that he wasn't still a good athlete, but he wasn't as explosive. And he transitioned to where he could be more of a spot-up threat, which I was obviously critical as Curry would drive into the paint and kick out when people, you know, came towards him. So, yeah, but young Andre Iguodala, I think that's a pretty good comp. AJ, what do you think of this comp to run our test?
Yeah, I definitely think he has a higher ceiling. And also, from a playmaking standpoint, too, just not even as, like, scoring-wise, but, like, getting his teammates involved, too, because he averaged nearly 5 assists when he was starting. So I think that he has a higher ceiling there. And I love the D-Rose comparison because that's my favorite player. But I can see that, too. Just really the shooting, if he gets even, like, a respectable, like, 33 to 35%, like, from the three-point line, something like that, he's going to make defenders honest, because then he's going to really be able to just pick teams apart and really have a – maybe like even ascension type of year, being an all-star. I can see that for sure. So
yeah, I think it's just it's hard to find a player comp. It's like right. It's like when Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook and these guys came into the league, John Wall, like there wasn't really a comp because like we hadn't really seen guards move in the way that they did. Like there's not really with a man a real comparable player with the athleticism, because like Andre Iguodala, he averaged almost 4 more rebounds a game than Iguodala did at his peak. Same thing with Ron Artest. Like, he averaged more.
He's more of a play. As AJ pointed out, he's way more of a playmaker than Ron Artest was.
Like, so it's like, I don't, that's why I think he's the only untouchable.
He's a 1-on-1.
Yeah, because like, one of two.
I know.
But like, Asar is,
as soon as I said, it's like, oh, wait, no, he actually has an exact replica.
Asar is awesome. Like,
I know.
During the end of the season, I was watching a lot of
Pistons. He's very good. I would still rather have like, a man, but.
No, I think a man's the better player, but I don't think the drop-off is crazy.
No, it's not.
713-780-3776. Let's bring in Gary. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just want to say on a man. Like, I'm not trying to throw cold water on it, but, like, he has very, very limited offenses, right? Like, he's a super crazy athlete. But there's no guarantee, like, the dude's going to, like, develop some type of, like, fluid jump shot. And I don't know that we have any prior. Like, maybe Jason Kidd came into the league, but he didn't learn how to shoot until he was, like, 35 years old. So I still think he could be an incredible player. Like, Derrick Rose, I think, is a little off. He's one of my favorite players. I actually still hate Mario Chalmers to this day because of Derrick Rose, if you know, you know. I just think he's a great player. I don't think there's a comp, but I would just caution Rocket fans not to think he's going to be, like, some 30-point-per-game score in this league. Like, I just don't see that from Thompson.
No, Gary, I think, and thank you for the call. I think that's totally fair. Like, I don't think a man is going to ever be a scoring leader for the Houston Rockets.
Agreed.
But can he lead your team? Can he be top three or top two in points, rebounds, and assists on the team and do all of that at once? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I think, I don't think, and that's where, like, I think there's the question of, like, can a man be the guy to lead you to a championship? I think my answer is probably no. Like, I don't think he's, like, the guy. Like, I think you have to have, like, to Gary's point, which I think is fair, like, you have to have someone more reliable to take the shot at the end of the game. And right now, it's not just there. Let's keep it rolling here. 713-780-3776, Austin on the HRMP listener line. What's up, Austin?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to actually kind of chime in real quick about this. There is a podcast, I think it was Gil Arena's podcast, and he had Danny Green on. He specifically remembered how Danny had recalled about how when Kawhi was coming up, right? Kawhi, you know, great athleticism, great defense, right? But didn't really have a shot there, didn't really was able, like, a true great scorer. And so with Ime and Pop, and along with the other great assistant coach they have there with San Antonio, they create and develop Kawhi's shot. So I think if they can put Amen on the same kind of like training and that same like regimen, be able to create a shot for him. Maybe he won't be obviously the best shooter in the league, but if he can have a shot close to Kawhi, I think, you know, that's something that can be like obtainable for Amen.
Thank you for the call, Austin. I heard the same podcast when Danny Green said that. And I think to Gary's point, too, you look at Kawhi Leonard, guys like Lonzo Ball, obviously, who like...
I was thinking of Amari Stoudemire, different position, but he had no shot when he came in. And yeah, he developed a pretty reliable, like, 15-point, or like a 15-foot jump shot.
And then there's Giannis, who like... And Shaq, who...
Didn't need it.
Like, didn't need it, but like, if they could have fixed it, they'd be the best player. And they already were the best players in the NBA. I mean, if Giannis and Shaq could have fixed their shooting... They might be the two best players in the history of basketball. Like, if Shaq could shoot a free throw, if Giannis could hit
Shaq
a three...
Shaq was never going to be able to shoot. His hands are too big.
It's like us trying to shoot an orange. He would go, like, 20 for 21 or 19 for 20 at practice, and then he would just choke.
He apparently had an agreement at one point with Rick Barry.
Yeah.
To learn how to do the underhand shot that Rick Barry made famous.
He got soft.
But Shaq decided it wasn't a cool look and backed out. But, to the first caller's point, like talking about he doesn't have a shot. Completely accurate. But, and maybe he ends up being a guy like Russell Westbrook that never develops a shot. That's certainly within the realm of possibility. But we also can't pretend like Amen didn't take a step forward from year one to year two. Like, year one, I agree, like, he had no shot. And his shot in year two was still very unreliable. It was inconsistent for sure. But he developed that little pull-up game where he would drive into the lane, get to around the free throw line about 10 to 12 feet, and knocked it down pretty consistently. Now, it went a little erratic in the first couple games of the series against the Warriors. I think there were some nerves involved. But we saw him take over some games late in that series. So I think we have to allow ourselves, one, for the possibility that he takes another step forward.
Yep.
Again, only 22 years old. He'll be going to year three. Or B, that he could be so special of an athlete like a Giannis that it might not matter.
I think that to Austin's point, because this name has come up before, I think he said the player that is the peak for a man. Like if you were to say a Amen Thompson Kawhi? At his absolute best, it's Kawhi.
Kawhi didn't have a shot at San Diego.
Yeah, like defensive player of the year, all defensive first team, MVP, top three, top 10, top five very often. Like that to me is the ceiling, I think, for a man. Like, if you were to say, like, what's your wildest dream? Like, he's the next Kawhi. Do I think he's going to get there? I don't know. But, like, that'd be, like, the dream. Is like,
I mean, that's the loftiest goal.
But, like, can you find a place to land between Andre Iguodala and Kawhi Leonard?
Sure.
Like, can you land on that spectrum? And, like, you're one of the best players in the NBA still. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to our 10-minute drill. What's going on around the NFL? He's Brian McDonald. I'm Joe George. AJ behind the glass. Filling in for Paul and Sean here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Joe and Brian here. 10-minute drill, filling in for Paul. Not a lot going on in the NFL. Is Aaron Rodgers ever going to sign somewhere or retire?
I've kind of gotten the feeling recently, and just going off of what we know about Aaron Rodgers and how much he loves the spotlight and the attention, even though he tells us he doesn't, is that he's hoping the Steelers turn him down so he doesn't have to publicly turn them down. And that is kind of... Like, because what else would there be at this point? Like, I can't think of a single... Because there's not, like, they wouldn't expect him... Like, he was given a pass by the Jets and I have to go to OTAs. They still allowed him to make all his overseas trips and all the things he likes to do during the summer. Like, I don't think it's, like, he's not holding out so he misses that. They would allow him to miss that anyway.
But also, like, he shouldn't miss it because it's been part of the problem.
I know, but... We got to live in the reality that is Rodgers, not what reality is the rest of us. So I just don't see like practice missing it or being there as being the obstacle. I really think at this point Rodgers is kind of at the point where he's done, but he wants the team to move on so he doesn't have to tell them that he's moved
the
on.
The problem is, I think they've banked on this because, like, they really
they clearly have
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, like, their depth chart is. Who else is on the roster besides? Because obviously,
Will Howard, Skylar Thompson.
Oh, they were the team that drafted Will Howard?
Yeah.
I could see Will Howard winning that job.
Lucky.
I saw the combine.
Yeah. You could always trade for Little Hands. Kenny Pickett again. Bring him back.
No, man. He's at Cleveland. He's a part of that five-man QB community they have there.
Trade for Dylan Gabriel. You can find a quarterback.
You could take a Browns cast off? That's your plan to quarterback?
You want to hear my take for who's going to be
the Steelers quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Aaron Rodgers is not the week one starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it'll be Davis Mills.
I could see it. Like, all right. Well,
even though Case Keenum is in a battle for the second quarterback spot in Chicago right now.
Like, if you're Houston, what draft pick would it take to get Davis Mills from you?
Sixth? Fifth?
See, I would say fourth. Like, because
Davis in a seventh?
Well, sure. I don't really care about that part, but like, because not saying that necessarily Davis Mills is even worth a fourth. That's not even really where I'm going with it. But like, if they like Davis Mills as their backup, and I think he's an upper half backup. Like, I'm not thinking they're going to win many games with him, but he's still kind of a mid tier backup. Like that, having that guy to me is worth more than the 10% gamble in the fifth round.
Look, you got Graham Mertz coming to town, man. Like.
Exactly.
He's your backup.
Exactly. I mean, another name that you could throw into this, like, I know it's in the interdivision and they would never trade interdivision, but if Aaron Rodgers passes, if you're the Steelers, wouldn't you call the Browns and ask for Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
For like a 6-7 swap?
If it's not Rodgers, it's going to be Joe Flacco. I actually think Tyson Bagent is an interesting one from the Bears because I think Case Keenum's going to win the second quarterback spot there. Davis Mills. Like, this is the caliber of quarterback you're talking about because, like, they've just banked their entire offseason
on
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And the owner keeps saying that, like, oh, we think the announcement will come soon. He's basically telling, like, everyone, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Steeler, but Aaron has to tell us first. And it's like, is he waiting for the drugs to get out of his system
He can sign? I forget how to say that.
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca, yeah. Like, this is either going to be a situation that ends with Aaron Rodgers being their quarterback, are the Steelers looking like the biggest boobs in the NFL for believing that he was going to be their quarterback?
You know what they need? This is perfect for them.
Uh-oh.
They've never tanked. Ever. Like, it's like, this is like your opportunity.
Tank for who, though?
Arch.
Arch won't be in this draft class. I can 95% tell you. Arch will come back for a senior year.
Nussmeier.
Klubnik.
Klubnik.
Yeah. I guess,
Drew Aller, who, like, I'm not big
on. The problem is, though, like, because it's Tomlin and because they still have a defense, they still have weapons. Like, I don't know if they can be
two wins bad. You're right.
Like, they could tank, but their version of tanking would still be like 6 wins and they don't get the first pick.
And it probably means Tomlin gets fired. Like,
yeah, I think really so. He's already kind of fed up with him. He hasn't won a playoff game since 16.
Yeah, but it's hard to justify firing a coach when you finish 500 or above every single year.
Yeah.
So like
below 500.
Like the first time you fall below is like, that's like your reasoning. I still want Arch to come out this year and I want the Saints to get the first pick just because like that's such.
So they can ruin him like they ruined his granddad?
I think it's such good drama because it's like you have Arch, the grandson of Archie, but then Grant Nussmeier, the quarterback from LSU, his dad's the OC.
I didn't realize that.
Wow. So it's like, if they were like the top two quarterbacks in the draft, it's like, which one are you taking? I just want to see a dad pass up on his son. Because it's like, how do you pass an Arch? Like, maybe I'm terrible, but like, I want to see that happen. Aiden Hutchinson's back. Like, he's been cleared, apparently. Do you think the Lions they lost their OC, their DC, half their coaching staff?
Yeah.
To various jobs. You think the Lions are good this year? Like, are
they yeah? I mean, good well, I year? Guess I guess what we have to define good. I mean, there can't not be a drop off, right?
They won
what 15 games last year?
Yeah. Do they win the division this year? Or do you think the Packers?
I think the Packers do. I ain't gonna lie.
You think the Packers do? How many wins would you put on the Packers, AJ?
As long as they're healthy, which I mean is very flexible, but I think they can go 13-4, something like that, or even
13-4. Okay, I don't think the Lions get to 13. So in that scenario, I would agree with
11-6,
you. 11-6,
maybe.
I think the Lions could still win.
think I'd take J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings.
Wow, I mean, the complete unknown?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I called Kevin O'Connell a quarterback whisperer that could win with anybody. I mean, he did it with Sam Darnold, who I think we all thought was, you know, unfixable. But still, I don't know. Like, J.J. McCarthy threw, what, 10 passes at Michigan? Like, he's just such a complete unknown.
And it's not Caleb Williams, who will not talk to the media after dumping, rightfully so, on the Bears. Did not meet with the media yesterday.
How does that book come out?
I think the only thing I question is, even though I think everyone that is a Bears fan agrees everything about what Caleb and his father said, no one disagrees.
Right.
We all get it. He's right. But why do you do the interview? Because, yes, he says, I think his point in there to do the interview was to say, I don't feel that way anymore. Like, I believe I can turn this
When did the interview take place?
Like, it's recent.
Okay. See, when the story first came out, I assumed it was like a pre-draft interview.
No.
The book was in the processes. I mean, and put the kibosh on the book before it even comes out. Like, don't let that book come out. But if it was a recent interview, I why would you even say it?
Yeah, I just don't do the interview.
I mean, I don't think he's wrong. I mean, we know the Bears quarterback history. I mean, obviously, I'm sitting next to Bear fans Joe over here, but they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. Have they had a guy throw for 30 touchdowns? I don't think they have.
I don't think so. Maybe Jay did once.
Yeah, I'd guess they haven't.
And apparently, he looks terrible so far. Like, that's one day of training.
I can't think of another franchise in the league that has like a worse quarterback history than the Bears.
I would say Cleveland.
Yeah, Browns.
They have the yards on it.
I mean, but that's it. I mean,
it's really a conversation of two teams. And it's not even just like the production or the lack of production that have come out of Chicago. It's also the way they handled it with drafting a quarterback, then firing his head coach the next year.
Yeah, three times in a row.
Yeah, exactly. And they did it already again, obviously, with Eberflus being fired after 1 year. So, I don't know. Maybe Ben Johnson will solve everything, but it's been a rough track record there in Chicago.
We'll see. All right, when we get back, today is the final day of Around the Horn. So, AJ, Brian, myself, we will do a sports TV show draft. We're going to take one talking head show, one documentary, one sports-themed TV show, and one pre- or post-game show. We'll do that next when we get back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Joe George, Brian McDonald filling in for Paul here on a Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. We're doing a Ask Joe and Brian Anything. If you got any questions, you can let us know. It's 713-780-3776 or on the Twitch or YouTube. Today is the final day of Around the Horn. 21 years. PTI is not far from coming to an end either.
Have they announced?
I don't think they've done an announcement.
Nothing official?
Yet. Yeah. So we are going to do a draft. We're going to take one talking head show, one documentary, one sports-themed TV show, one pre- or post-game show.
And I've got the first pick.
Order will be Brian, AJ, me. We will do...
Snake. Okay.
And a two-veto system.
Wait, hold.
Just in case you cross the line.
Like it doesn't fit the theme?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to try to just veto my pick so you can have it. Okay.
Hey, I'm worried that like two of my picks, like my.
So I think you know. I think you have a pretty good feel. I think we're on the same page because we both said during the break, like one of these categories I really only have two choices for. And I also only have two choices for one of these categories. So with the first pick, I got to go there because I don't have any faith that one of them will get back to me. And that is the pre- or post-game show. And to me, there's two choices. I'm not going to say the other one.
No tipping picks, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the other one. But to me, this is clearly a two-show category. And for my first pick, I will select College Game Day with the first overall pick for my pre-game show.
AJ, any category you want?
Okay, I'm going to do pre- or post-game show. I thought he was going to go here. College Game Day is a good one, but I'm going to go with Inside the NBA.
That was the other one.
Yeah.
I'm
now going to have to start Googling pre- and post-game shows.
Well, now you can wait, though, because AJ...
I know. Yeah, it can be your last pick
because AJ and I can't take that category for the rest of the draft.
Delete that category.
Well, that was the two, AJ, yeah. So yeah. I I guess you would have obviously gone inside the NBA one. I
would have gone College Game Day one and then inside the NBA.
I guess it's just really, do you like the NBA or college football more?
Yeah, I mean,
and I like college football a little more. Honestly, so
they're both incredible.
They're both great. Yeah,
they're on a different level than anything.
Oh, they're honestly. They're own tier compared to everything else.
All right, so my first pick here, I will go. I'm going to take the best talking head show of all time. I think this. I mean, I'm assuming this counts towards this. I am specifically taking the Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann years of SportsCenter.
Well, SportsCenter is more of a news show.
Yeah, I feel like it fits into the category.
Kind AJ, of. What do you think?
I like that. I mean, what all years right. were Dan Patrick and
we're Mono talking mid '90s?
Yeah, like mid '90s.
Yeah, I was say
yeah. It's the.
I'm fine with that. So you know what? You got the raw in the deal with the pre and post. Yeah, so you're going to SportsCenter specifically with Dan and Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
Yeah. I think it's the best there.
Was that your favorite? Well, obviously, it was your favorite duo.
Stuart Scott, I really
like the Stuart Scott Rich Eisen combo was really good.
Yep, totally agree.
But like Kenny Mayne was really good on there.
Yeah, but like they're the reason why ESPN exists.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna go documentary here.
All right,
I'm gonna go TV show here. Just kidding. Because documentary is so deep.
Yeah, documentary I feel like is definitely the deepest of these.
It's my favorite. I'm taking Friday Night Lights.
Okay. All right. Will I insult you by saying I've never seen the show?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not
a slander. I just like it's. I think we all have those TV shows that there's no real good explanation for.
Well, everyone has like TV shows. Movies. I was talking to Michael Carroll the other day because I know there's the new Predator show coming out. I've never seen a single thing.
Predator,
Alien. None of it.
I had never seen any of the Planet of the Apes movies until like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
They're just random things that just for some reason slip through. We all have those, and Friday Night Lights was one of those for me. All right, AJ, you are up for your second pick.
Okay.
You can't take pre or post game show, but everything else is on the board.
Okay. So I can do documentary?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Okay. This came down for like two picks for me. I'm not going to say the other one, I guess. But man, I'm gonna go with The Last Dance though for the documentary.
Ooh,
yeah, for that one.
That's yeah. It was strong.
I wonder if it was between that and Friday Night Lights.
I wonder if it wasn't during COVID if we would have still wanted to watch 10 hours.
I mean, I don't know, but like, I mean, it was literally. I mean, when I was at 790, like we literally treated it like it was like an NFL game. Like it's what we did all Monday. We would bring in Vernon Maxwell, like Maxwell. We had. The X-Man on, what's his name? The guy from Seattle that choked Michael.
Oh, God, I'm forgetting his name, too.
But, like, we treated it like, it was like a post-game show every Monday during
absolutely.
The pandemic. Like, we would just talk Last Dance for 3 hours. Like, it was a godsend, honestly.
Yeah. It was perfect timing, too, because they moved the show up, too. It was supposed to come out that June as well.
All right, B-Mac, you got
two picks. All right, so I got two picks here on the turn. I think I'm going to save my talking head show for last, so I'm going to go with my documentary and my sports-themed TV show. First, for my sports-themed TV show, give me something that aired on HBO. Give me Eastbound and Down. Okay. Danny McBride joined, if you haven't seen that, I think we've all familiar with the story, but basically a former Major League Baseball player trying to make it back, hysterical comedy show. And for my documentary, I assume this will count. I don't know if this is fringe between documentary and reality TV show, but give me Hard Knocks.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
That's documentary. Like, it's just it comes out every year. It's different, but I think Hard Knocks definitely applies.
All right.
The hard part for me is I think it's just not been good in years.
Yeah. Like I still enjoy it.
So good.
I did enjoy the Bears because Eberflus was a dud.
Yeah,
Eberflus was so boring.
I watched it, but it sucked.
Yeah, the subject matter can obviously affect the quality, but it's still entertaining most years. I actually didn't like the Jets here either because they took over so much control and wouldn't show the cuts and different things like that. But overall, I still really enjoy Hard Knocks.
I think it's very it's just very hit or miss.
It is. I mean, I don't want to obviously give out the other documentaries, but there's certainly like five or six other ones that I considered. But AJ, you're up for your next pick, sir.
Okay, so the next sports team TV show? I'm not gonna lie, there's not a lot of great TV shows like in my opinion, yeah. like that. So I'll go with Talking Head Show. I can do that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Just Talking Head Show. I mean, this is newer kind of like. Seal comes on now. I don't know. I just enjoy the rapport of the cast, but I like NFL Live, just how they all talk.
And yeah.
That Mina Kimes, I really like her. She's one of my like favorite analysts. Like she's
I really like Mina Kimes. Yeah. She's good.
All right, so I got my final two picks here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go – Last Dance was between what I was struggling with for Friday Night Lights, but I like my other two options for documentary. I just think it's the best story. But the newest version of it is the best version, even though we've heard the O.J. story be told a million times. O.J. Made America.
Oh, yeah. It was a great documentary.
It's fantastic. It's so good. Like it is perfectly told.
OJ is one of those stories. I think there's more than just OJ, but it feels like they're going to make documentaries on OJ for the rest of our lives, and we'll watch every single time one comes out.
Absolutely. And then I'm taking this because, like, if we put like a poll about this up, like I would lose because like I know like all these shows, like I know you guys had this on the B's, like this debate about rooting for the stars.
Uh huh.
But to be honest with you, like. Trying to sell my own pick a little bit, but like Paul Bissonnette and Wayne Gretzky and these guys on the NHL on TNT show are incredible. Like they're not that far off from inside the NBA. Like,
you're trying to sell. No, it was a two, but like, two show like, topic or like, two show category.
Like, they're far behind, but they're closer than any other pregame show. It's not even close. Like there's nothing on ESPN, nothing on Fox or anything that comes close. Like they have TNT has crushed it in terms of forming like a hockey version of the basketball show. It's just people just don't watch.
I did think back in the day when it was like Boomer and who was the former Bronco linebacker that used to be with them all the time?
Yep, don't remember his name.
TJ something. Anyway, yep. Like there was a time when ESPN's NFL Countdown that I thought was actually pretty good, but it certainly jumped the shark for me.
All right,
you got one more. Wait, you've only made
OJ
you
made
said
America.
Hockey. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
AJ, you need a TV show.
I'm just gonna say All American. Okay. Some of new generation.
I've watched is it's on my TikTok feed all the time.
Oh, Paul American is a. Have you watched all of that?
Pretty much all of this. First six seasons, not this new season. Yeah. New season though.
How many seasons
of All American?
Oh, I thought you said okay. I thought you were talking about the Logan Jake Paul show. Like,
No.
All American.
Okay, yeah. okay. All right. That changes things. I was like, I thought that only had one season. The world does not need that many seasons of the Paul brothers. All right, so I got one pick left, and it has to be my talking head show. I hope you allow this to count. I consider this, especially because one of the cast members of this show is just literally his headshot in the frame.
Okay.
But I'm going with the Pat McAfee show.
That's fine.
Okay.
That is my
pick for talking.
I will allow that. Other things I had on my list, Around the Horn, PTI.
PTI was on my list.
I considered taking the cold pizza version of First Take.
Back in the day with Skip and Woody.
And Salisbury. Like.
Oh, I forgot Salisbury. Yeah,
Sean was
on that.
Like, I mean, that's like, I remember like I moved when I started working at Gao and Sean and Granada were doing a show on the network. I was like, oh my God, you're the guy from Cold Pizza.
I remember Sean Salisbury because he was, do you remember the show Cheap Seats that aired on ESPN Classic? Yeah. Sean always did bits for the comedians, the Sklar brothers on there. He was on there a few times every season. Like, they would kick it to him for a breakdown of whatever happened.
Yeah.
But I always enjoyed Salisbury in those.
And then I had a Hoop Dreams for a documentary also as an option.
I had the 30 for 30 series. But I couldn't really go to it because, I mean, after Last Dance and O.J. Made in America, those are kind of the same thing. Yeah. So.
What about A Football Life?
That was on my list. Yeah. That was on my list, yeah.
The only other – and I know we got a break here. But
oh, yeah. Sure.
The other TV shows I had were The League – But it falls off.
I'm so mad at myself.
But it falls off so hard. And just because
I didn't mind the ending.
Just because I know you'll appreciate this. And we can get your guys' honorable mentions on the other side. Playmakers.
Oh, yeah.
Only one season.
Yeah. Well, not even a full season. I know. They got canceled mid-season.
Should have had more.
NFL shut that bleep down.
I don't know how they haven't got it. Someone's got to bring back
Playmakers. They canceled it as soon as they started showing players taking shots in the butt to roid up for games.
It's an honest show.
I know. It was true to life.
All right. We will go to break here. Who was the third most important pitcher on the Astros staff? Not the best, the most important. Is it Lance McCullers? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.